You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into today's edition of ESPN FC. I'm Sebastian Salazar. In just a little bit, you'll hear from Ale Moreno, Archie Rintot, and Derek Gray. We're covering everything from a big weekend in the Bundesliga to the 2021 debut of Shaka Hislop's Power Rankings. But we start this show at the top of the Premier League, or at least the top of the Premier League, as the odds makers see it. Of course, we know Liverpool and Manchester United tied atop the table, but the latest odds have City installed as favorites, even money favorites at that. Liverpool right around 2-1, Manchester United 6-1, and then so on down the list. The odds for Liverpool not any better after today's words from Jurgen Klopp. Looks like they won't be able to bring in a center back during the January transfer window. For more, we'll welcome in Steve Nicol and Shaka Hislop. Stevie, I'll start with you. Does Liverpool need to bring in a center back in the upcoming January transfer window if they are to win the Premier League, in your opinion?
I think the simple answer is yes. If they want to win the Premier League, then they have to sign a bona fide centre-back who's going to come in and plug the gaps, if nothing else. With Klopp coming out and saying it doesn't seem likely, that would suggest that they either they don't have their eye on anybody or the one they have is not available. I would suggest that it's got nothing to do with the money. Yes, I know financially everybody's hurting a little bit, but I think Liverpool's, I think their finances are in order that if they needed to, they could go out and spend some money. So they absolutely, 100% in my opinion, if they want to win the Premier League, need to go and get a centre-back of note. But that doesn't seem to be happening, which, in my mind, makes the bookies correct.
Shaka, what do you think here? Are Liverpool's title chances come down to what they do in the January transfer window?
Absolutely, they do. I think we saw that a couple of years ago when they brought in Virgil van Dijk. As much money as it seemed at the time, it was the right signing. And once he went down with that injury against Everton, this was a concern that Liverpool would go back to how they were then. A good team, but not title favourites. And the thing for me is, even if you adding to what Steve just said, you need a centre-back. As good as Fabinho has been, that's a stopgap measure. That's if, for some reason, you have to go two or three games where he has to play a role. You don't want to be going 5 and 6 months, as is the case here, with him filling in at centre-back. It'll work times, some of the time, but not all of the time. And in this league in particular, this year in particular, you don't have a whole lot of wiggle room to get that wrong.
Stevie, Manchester City obviously playing very well of late. Are they not a little bit overvalued, though, at even money, considering they're 4 points back of Liverpool right now?
I don't think so. For the simple reason that defensively, they have the best record in the league, in the Premier League, and they don't look like giving up many goals. Listen, if they stood on the field tomorrow with that same back line that has been playing recently, I don't fancy them losing goals. And the fact is that all season we've been waiting on them flourishing going forward, and they seem to be doing that, then that's just bad news. Listen, it's a true saying. Fergie said it forever. You know, you build a championship winning side from the back. And as good as Man City have been previously, and as good as they seem to be today, don't kid yourself. Those great City sides of 2 and 3 years ago were built on the back of people like Vincent Kompany, who when it mattered most, would keep a clean sheet and they'd win 1-0. Yes, we remember them winning 5-6 and 7-0. But they had a few one-goal victories that were down to good defending. And this City side right now defensively looks as solid as anybody in the Premier League.
All right, then Manchester United, of course, getting the 6-1 odds coming off Wednesday's semi-final defeat in the Carabao Cup to Manchester City 2-0. Some interesting comments from the French midfielder Paul Pogba in the aftermath of this game. Here's what he had to say, quote, "It is very annoying to lose because there's a trophy behind all of this. We have to do better. It is details and at set pieces we lost. We have to learn because it is not the first time. There are big games coming up. Next time we will do better. Last year they, City, were obviously more dominant. They dominated us. That wasn't the case this time, so obviously we are improving, but we have to go to the next step now, all of us." Stevie, I'll start with you. I hear words like details and set pieces. Those seems like pretty basic things that in a big match you'd have locked down. Is he signaling the manager here?
No, I think he's shown himself up, to be honest. What is he talking about? The reason they lost this game was because of two set pieces? Well, did the goals come from two set pieces? Yes. But if you're talking about a game of football, they got outplayed. So, and guess what? You were right in the middle of the park. You're in the engine room. You're in the place on the field that's the most important. So why don't you, above anybody else, make sure that A, you get your job done and inspire the others around you. So I don't get it that he's having a go at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's actually talking nonsense, in my opinion. He's probably a little frustrated. It's after the game. But in no way do I see this as a go at Ole. This is a guy that's had a few good games and we've all said, well done, giving him a pat on the back. But that's it. So the first thing he has to do is look at himself. Never mind looking around and saying, we have to do this and we have to do that. How about I have to do something? That's where he should start.
Shaka, what do you make of Pogba's comments?
Let me jump in here. I don't think Paul Pogba is talking nonsense per se. He's absolutely right. The two goals came from set pieces.
Shaka, did you watch the game?
Let me get to that. What I was about to say, Stevie, is you're absolutely right in pointing out that City were the better of the two teams. What I think Paul Pogba is trying to say, and it's not a go at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but it's a go at the rest of the team, the players. And this goes back to my concern around United and whether they are good enough to actually win the title. In defending set pieces, so much of it is about what you do and what you see as an individual, whether you win your one-on-one battles, whether you get to the ball first, whether you recognize your marking assignment and stick with it. And then if you give up two goals from two set pieces, you have to look at where that went wrong individually. That for me is not at all a slight on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but that's Paul Pogba saying to the rest of the team, these are the details that we have to be better at if we want to win semi-finals, and I'll go further and say if they want to win league titles. That's how I interpreted it.
You question go ahead, Stevie.
No, I would be interested to know, because I don't expect anybody, managers or players, to be pointing the finger at individuals in the newspaper or in an interview. I would, however, like to know if Paul Pogba went into the dressing room after the game and walked up to Harry Maguire and asked him what he was doing on the first goal. Because that's what good teams do. Good teams, they hold each other responsible for making errors, particularly in big games when it matters most. So I would be interested to know if Paul Pogba has the you-know-what to turn round to somebody like Harry Maguire and say, what were you doing on the first goal? Why did you not try and clear it? Why are you just letting it go past you? So that's what they should be doing.
Speaking of responsibility, what about the stat du jour, the stat of the day that's making the rounds? Solskjaer has now lost 3 domestic semifinals, as many as Sir Alex Ferguson lost in 26 years at the head of Manchester United. Shaka, just a random stat, or does that tell us something about what Manchester United is not getting done in these big matches?
I think that just speaks to who Manchester United are. Listen, it's just unfair to compare Ole's team to Sir Alex Ferguson's. Sir Alex Ferguson built that club and built a winning mentality, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is still trying to do that. Whether he can in the long term, we can debate. don't think he can, in any shadow, kind of replicate what Alex Ferguson did. But I don't think that's a fair comparison. Not right now. Especially after you lose to teams like City last couple of seasons, who have been so good and so dominant. They have closer replicated what Sir Alex Ferguson did with Manchester United in his time.
Stevie, it's not just the domestic semifinals, though, is it? It's the Europa League semifinal last year against Sevilla. It's the Champions League knockout phase. Does Ole have a big match problem?
I don't think so. Listen, I think it's unfair to say that if you're losing to teams that are actually better than you. You know, had they been losing to underdogs consistently, then I think no question you start to question the temperament of either the team or the manager. But the truth is, all the semis they've lost, they've actually lost to better sides, in my opinion. So I think it's a little harsh to turn around and say that they have a mental blockage when it comes to semis. They've just been beaten by better sides, in my opinion.
So if it's, Stevie, if it's not down to Ole, then it's down to the players. Are they not playing well enough, or are they just not good enough?
I don't think they're consistently good enough. That's the biggest problem. I think each individual that plays for Manchester United on their day can be great. I mean, you go through the whole side. I'm pulling Harry Maguire out about making a mistake. You know, what, 12, 18 months ago, Harry Maguire was arguably the best centre-back in the country. So, at their best, they have players around the field that should be able to win big games, but they're not consistent. You know, in any given day, one of them will be great, but the rest will be okay. That doesn't get you titles and trophies. And that's kind of borne out when you look at the semi-finals they've lost.
Shaka, Stevie, thank you very much. We'll leave you with one more bit of news on Manchester United. They've signed 18-year-old Hamad Diallo from Atalanta. Solskjaer has called him one of the most exciting prospects in the game. If you want more, just head over to our website. Tor Christian Carlsen has the full scouting report on United's newest player.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Bayern Munich 2 points clear of Leipzig heading into the weekend in the Bundesliga. Leverkusen and Dortmund round out your top four. Dortmund 8 points back of the league leaders. How about a shout for Union Berlin, the surprise package of the season in fifth place in the Bundesliga. For more, we welcome in Derek Ray and Archie Rintott. Gentlemen, let's start with Friday's match. Bayern visiting Gladbach, who are in seventh place. Derek, still without Marcus Thuram after that ugly spitting incident. Anything for Bayern to worry about here?
Plenty for Bayern to contemplate in this game. In fact, if you look at recent history, quite favourable for Gladbach. In the last 12 meetings, 5 wins apiece, a couple of draws. Gladbach won the corresponding fixture last season. Now, they've not been at their best in the Bundesliga. They've reserved their best form for the Champions League. But that's not to say that they can't damage Bayern. Jonas Hofmann is back. He's been a key player when he has been fit for Gladbach, and he can set up chances. Bayern have been vulnerable to those little chip balls through the middle of the defence. We saw that in the Mainz game last week, the goal from Jonathan Burkhardt. And Bayern, remember, have now gone 8 successive games conceding the first goal. They have a habit of turning those setbacks into points, into victories mostly. But this is a fixture with great tradition going back to the 1970s, probably the foremost fixture in German football in the 70s, and it won't be a picnic for Bayern in Gladbach.
Archie, let's stick with the stat that Derek mentions there. 8 straight Bundesliga matches where Bayern Munich concedes first. I wonder what you think and your colleagues in the German press. Is it just a quirky stat, or is it something that'll trip Bayern up, if not this weekend against Friday against Gladbach, maybe later down the road against better competition in the Champions League?
Well, there's a bigger stat to that one there, and that is that Bayern are 20 games unbeaten in all competitions, and what's more, they've only lost one of their last 53 in all competitions. So they may concede first, but the issue for everyone else that they're facing is, can they score enough against them? Now, I think that Derek's right. There are certainly things about Gladbach that will challenge Bayern. And at the back, Bayern have looked very wobbly. The big talking point over here in Kicker magazine today was about the amount of right backs that Bayern have used this season. Five, namely, and Joshua Kimmich having to go and refulfill that role at half-time against Mainz. And Joshua Kimmich was a big reason as to why they won that game in the end, because Benjamin Pavard, Hansi Flick was talking about the way he came back from injury, maybe rushing him back a little too quickly. He's not been in good form. He says he trusts him to find his form again, but Bayern do have their weaknesses. But I would say that Gladbach have their weaknesses as well. At home, they've not taken as many points as they should have. The amount of times that they've gone 1-0 up and thrown it away, I think Bayern will be looking at that record and thinking, well, we have nothing to fear if we go 1-0 behind. I think that it can build a certain character in a side.
Should be a good game Friday. Should be a great game Saturday. A top four clash. Leipzig in second place hosting Dortmund in fourth. Archie, man, so much to choose from this game. Jadon Sancho back in the goals. A Haaland versus Upamecano matchup potentially. What are you most looking forward to?
I think you just picked it out there. Because Erling Haaland and Deo Upamecano are two leading lights in their positions in the Bundesliga. And just seeing those two, how they go up against each other, is going to be a fascinating battle. I also think that the way that Dortmund played last week against Wolfsburg, there's still a lot to improve on. I wasn't too impressed with their work in transition or against the ball. They still didn't look like they were too sure what they were meant to be doing. You saw Marco Reus gesticulating a couple of times to players behind him going, where are you going to press? When are we going to do that? And I think that that's something that they have to get right against Leipzig, because Leipzig are more aggressive than Wolfsburg. And whilst their chance conversion in the league is the third worst, their chance creation is the second best. And you don't want to leave that to chance against a Julian Nagelsmann side. They have the chance to go 9 points clear of Dortmund this weekend. And I think that Dortmund, given the way that they've been playing and defending recently, I think they've got more to worry about going into this than Leipzig do.
Archie, of course, you will be at that match. We look forward to your reports here on ESPN FC. Derek, it figures to be a great game. What kind of match do you think we do get on Saturday between Leipzig and Dortmund?
Well, Archie spoke there about the Borussia Dortmund angle. For me, the Leipzig angle is very interesting. Julian Nagelsmann, at his media briefing, in sort of Nagelsmann-esque fashion, said, we're planning on a win. We're planning to win this game. And, of course, they didn't win the big one against Dortmund at the tail end of last season, which secured for Borussia Dortmund second place. So maybe a bit of a score to settle there. But we're talking about the number one defence, and Leipzig have really evolved into such a solid unit under Nagelsmann. Teams don't score goals easily against them. The two players who I think are particularly interesting for this game are Angelinho on the left, and he has become one of the key figures going forward with those thrusting runs and so difficult to pick up. And Thomas Meunier had better be on top of his game. If he falls asleep, then Dortmund are in trouble. Amadou Haidara, another one. We don't speak about him a lot, but last time out in the win against Stuttgart, he was very active with 7 attempts in the game, playing in a new position on the right. And that is the one thing about Leipzig. We keep seeing these innovations from Nagelsmann, players in new positions, popping up in positions that we maybe didn't expect. And so I think this might be tight. I'm not going to be shocked if Leipzig edge it against Borussia Dortmund, who admittedly were much better in the win over Wolfsburg in their last game.
Derek, Archie, thank you very much. They tell me Archie's the writer, but Derek writing on the website. Great article on Mönchengladbach. Figures they'll give Bayern Munich a stern test on Friday. Check it out at espnfc.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, if you thought we left all our negativity back in 2020, you were wrong. Right now on the website, we are ranking some of the worst transfers of the past decade. Everything from Nicolas Pepe for £72 million to Dortmund letting Robert Lewandowski go on a free. Shaka and Stevie are back with us. Alejandro Moreno joins the show as well. Ale, I'll start with you. You saw this complete list. What stood out to you?
Well, there's a lot of bad transfers in that list. And there's a lot of miscalculations and a lot of people that are not doing their job properly in scouting departments for a lot of teams across Europe. But the thing that really stands out to me, as many of the bad decisions that we saw there, is how terrible, and I mean how terrible, Barcelona have been in terms of their decisions and in terms of the players that they pick out and the money that they have spent and how little those players that they spend money on have achieved for the club. Go back to the threesome of Malcolm, Dembele, and Coutinho. My goodness, have they been bad. And then add into that Antoine Griezmann and the disappointment that he has been as well. And the reason that that stands out to me is it's not only that you've made bad decisions on players and that these players haven't become the answer to your issues, but they've actually created more problems for you because financially now Barcelona is strapped. So not only are they affecting you in the now, they're also actually affecting you in the future as well because they limit your ability to do business the way you want to and with the power that you once did.
Stevie, I'd ask you about Liverpool, but it's been pretty much all good business since 2010. They had to go way back to Andy Carroll to even dig anything up for this article. Instead, then, let's move to Shaka's Power Rankings, the first edition of Shaka's Power Rankings of 2021. There is a lot of movement. Man, a bad week for the big boys, Shaka. Liverpool, Inter Milan, AC Milan, Real Madrid, all dropping out. Explain yourself.
Yeah, it's a tough week. It's a new year, Sebi, and you've got to live up to those old standards. I'll start at number one.
What?
Bayern Munich, I mean, we can't.
New year, but old standards?
There's only one way to go after your standards.
It's a new year. You can't just abide by those same old standards. That's what I said.
Go on.
That's what I said.
If I was you, I wouldn't go number by one. Your last standard.
But I'll tell you what, this is good. I'm not sure how it's going to get any better. Anyway, number one, Bayern Munich. Number two, last time we did this, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago? 3 wins on the bounce, they're up. Glasgow Rangers in at number two.
That's because you forget Liverpool your number two. You forgot your number two, didn't you? You forgot your number two.
Glasgow
this
Rangers in number two.
This man knows what he's talking about.
I dropped
this
Liverpool out, so I had to shut Stevie up somehow, so I put Glasgow Rangers. City in at three. Yeah. Even though they were fifth in the table, but that's all right. RB Leipzig, four. Sporting, Club de Portugal, in at five. And just below them, Porto, six. Lyon 7, Man United 8, Atletico 9, they go and shoot themselves in the foot yesterday. And then Besiktas in at number 10. I'm not sure how those rankings get any better in the next 51 weeks.
I'll tell you. Can I tell you after about 1 second how they can get better if Juventus were in there? Listen, the biggest game in Italian league this season, Juventus doing what Juventus do, coming out on top, but they can't get in your top 10. How's that possible?
Wow.
Let me channel my inner Stevie Nicol. Where are they in the table?
Okay.
Well, okay. You just said Man City are fifth, and you said that's okay. You said Man City were fifth.
Because
they
just
all
beat
right.
Manchester
it's
United.
It's not okay for Juventus.
They are fifth. They are fifth with two games in hand on Liverpool, who are top, and they just beat Manchester United, who are joint top.
You said, where are Juventus in the league? And I said, where is City? They're in fifth. So don't try and slip out of that one.
How many games in hand Juventus have?
Who cares? You said, where are they in the table? And I just told you. The fifth.
But that's my point. That's my point.
What is your point, Shaka?
What is your point? Yeah.
City may be fifth. City may be fifth, but with two games in hand, they can get a point behind the league leaders.
Mm. Oh, right.
So
same as Liverpool.
Had
three easy games coming up
with
a game in hand.
All right, we'll leave it there. Shaka's explanation.
No, one second, okay. Seb. One second. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say something.
No,
I forgot how terrible Shaka is at this. How bad he is at doing his power ranking. Okay.
So you're saying
this is the first time that I've done the power rankings in a long time with Shaka, and I have forgotten how incredibly he is at this job. Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Yeah. So you're saying there aren't 10 teams in the world that are better than Liverpool. That's what you're
saying.
Those
power rankings are good.
Shaka, if I was you, I'd pass it over to Ali.
Yes,
and I'll pass that right on
that's
to
a
you,
good point, Stevie.
Ali, get out quick.
All right, we'll leave it there, gentlemen. Consistency, not our strong point. We'll try to be more consistent on today's edition of Extra Time. This trio is back taking your questions straight from Twitter.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, then, that's all the time we've got for today's edition of ESPN FC, but the fun is not yet done. Up next, it's Extra Time. Stevie, Shaka, and Ale taking your questions. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into today's edition of ESPN FC Extra Time. We have your tweets, and we have a trio of analysts ready to answer your questions. Stevie, Shaka, and Ale, a surprise replacement for the, and this is no surprise, technology-troubled Ian Dark, who was supposed to be in Extra Time today. First question. Actually, before we get to the first question, Shaka, you were very adamant during your power rankings about the amount of games in hand that Juventus had. How many was that? Could you show us that again? Yeah.
That's incorrect.
I went talking for zero. About...
That is actually incorrect. They have a game in hand, just for consistency's sake here. Just so we give context, the proper context there to all the research that went into Shaka's power rankings. First question from Luis. Once the Manchester United players run out of juice, will Man City and Liverpool finally break away from the pack? Stevie, what do you think?
Well, you could turn around and say that once Man City and Liverpool run out of juice, then United will run away.
Good analysis. Yes, that is correct.
Well,
most likely
well clearly,
to run
if they run out of juice. Listen, if they're going to run out of juice, regardless of who it is, you're not going to win games, are you?
Okay, great. So Craig's not here to complain about the question. Stevie's complaining about it.
Hold on. Let's change it around then. How about if Bruno Fernandes runs out of juice?
Mm.
That would be more to the point.
Okay.
And I guess the answer would be 100% yes.
Very well. Gentlemen, is the stage set for Major League Soccer to host the last dance between Ronaldo and Messi? How likely is this scenario? Ale, what do you think? Messi and Ronaldo to close out their careers in MLS?
It would be a dream for MLS and MLS fans. I don't know that it's realistic to think of both of them coming to Major League Soccer. It's going to take a major investment, not only from individual clubs, but also from the league as well. But I am sure that there'll be teams lining up for the opportunity to have either Ronaldo or Messi. But who are those teams that are really capable of putting up that sort of money and who are interested Everybody's interested, but who's able to make this sort of commitment? Because it would be a huge financial commitment. I think it would be ideal for MLS. It would be a dream come true. I don't see both of them, but maybe one of them ending their career here in Major League Soccer.
Ale, either or, who would you rather take on your MLS team?
If it was my MLS team, I would have Lionel Messi. If I'm thinking of the league and marketing purposes and a guy that would like to be at the forefront of every marketing effort, I would take Cristiano Ronaldo.
All right. Quite a good political answer there, but pleasing all parties. Austin asks, as a player, when things have gotten away from your team and the opposition is having their way, like what happened to Chelsea last weekend when City got in a groove, what are some things you can do to halt the onslaught and right the ship outside of simply playing better? Stevie, what are the nuggets that would get you out of a bad situation?
Well, it's dead easy. Physically manhandle them. Unfortunately, that's a little difficult to do these days. I mean, today would have to be a tactical move, which would mean bringing everybody back behind the ball. Kind of Roman warrior-esque, get everybody in and make them go around the outside. But back in my day, you absolutely could physically rattle a couple of people and slow them down a little bit without getting yourself sent off the field.
Next question. I don't know if this person knows Stevie personally, but seems to have some insight into Steve's plans for 2021. Stevie is planning to go on a diet this year. What lifestyle changes are the boys doing? Shaka, any lifestyle changes for the coming year?
I'd like to go back to the first part of that. Stevie's planning on going on a diet this year?
I'm already on it.
Yeah, you've not noticed?
Yeah, sorry.
Sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, I believe.
But I'm not being sarcastic.
I'm not at a crisp.
Yeah.
Sorry, not at a chip, not at a potato.
Really?
I'm not at carbs. Wow. I'm not at a beer.
Very
last
impressive.
Time I had all that nonsense.
Well, in my defense, I haven't
a million
seen
miles
Stevie.
Away, but it was only last Sunday.
Time does change.
I haven't seen you, Stevie, since this monumental change in your life.
Wait till you see him in person. Very
I didn't
stuff.
Know.
Shaggy.
You might not
recognize me the next time you see me.
I have a question. Much like Manchester United, will this diet effort run out of juice soon?
I have to say I'm in a very positive mood at the moment, so I don't need any negativity in my life. Thank you very much.
And to be fair, a week for Stevie on a diet is that's a long time for Stevie. They don't normally last a full week. Well, Steve.
No, they don't. No, a week, that's a good sign. A week, it means it's going to carry on. Usually I cave in after 2 days.
You've cracked it. You've cracked that elusive 1 week barrier.
Time is warped in the quarantine anyway, so a week feels kind of like a month, if not more. Next question was for Ian Dark, who we mentioned unfortunately couldn't be with us because of some technical issues. Ian trying to download Skype was really a mountain that was impossible for us to conquer here as a show. So the question was for Ian, but it's about center back pairings. Connor Cody.
Actually, tell everybody how long we actually. So me and Shaka were sat in our chairs at home like this. For how long? Tell the viewers how long did we sit like this?
I believe we were supposed
1 hour.
To start the session at about 3, and we probably didn't start taping till about 4. So yeah, it was a good hour.
Yeah,
correct. Well, we sat for an hour.
You knew it was going to be a long day when Steve offered his technical support, technical advice to Ian Dark.
Well, I mean, you've got resources available. Why don't you use them?
Yeah. That's how bad it was.
What was less heartening, that or the moment when Ian Dark asked us for his own password?
I even got myself a cup of tea.
Oh, sorry, coffee.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. All right.
Wait. Run that back again.
Hey, no milk.
Ask for his own password.
Oh, sugar.
Ian was asking for a password, but it was his password that he was asking us for. So at that point, and that was like 40 minutes in. So at that point, I figured it was going to be tough. Anyway, this question: Connor Cody, Harry Maguire, Eric Dyer, Harry Maguire, John Stones, Harry Maguire, or Connor Cody, John Stones? Which duo should Gareth Southgate's preferred option be for the upcoming Euros? Stevie, you're our defensive expert on this panel. Who would you pick?
Well, the two men in form are John Stones and Eric Dyer. Mm. Whether you think they're the best players, generally, you could have a good old argument or a discussion. But right now, the men in form are Eric Dyer and John Stones. Listen, the two best defensive records in the Premier League are Tottenham and Manchester City. And two huge pieces of that are Eric Dyer at Tottenham and John Stones at Man City.
Very well. Final question, and I know where this is going, from our good friend Rob. Would you ever let your significant other cut your hair? Of course, this in the context that I did allow my significant other to cut my hair. Have for quite some time during this quarantine, and it didn't really all go all that well. I'll kind of turn.
Well, Ali will. This is just a buzz cut, isn't it? His dog can do it. He could just lie down, and the dog, dog could do it for him.
And now I have to say, it's. I used eyeshadow. The trick is, if this ever happens to any of you, you use eyeshadow to just kind of patch it in there, and you can see it covers it up. She said no one would even notice. Oh, man.
Hey, she's got a lot of equity.
Yes, totally, totally. She
married
me.
You.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
What else you
want? No, I can't complain. Certainly not about the haircut. Certainly not. About that.
Do complain about the haircut, but it doesn't matter. It's funny still.
Shaka, Ian, Alejandro, of course, Ian is not here. Did you ever get a haircut as bad as Seb's prior to an event? And how did you cover it up so you looked presentable? All right, worst haircut stories. Stevie?
No.
No? Who cuts your hair? Has it been cut in 30 years?
Well, actually, no,
I've got one.
It was pre-season, and we played a game on the Tuesday night, and I got a cut down me. Somebody caught the stud on the side of my face, and I just had a little furrow, right? Just a wee one, but it was long. And the following day, I went to get a haircut. And asked the guy for a one instead of a two. Mm-hmm. And so I pretty much looked like a skinhead. And I had a huge cut down the side of my face. I must have looked like a complete and utter thug. So that would probably be it.
Stevie, what do you think this is with your expert opinion? Is it a one or a two that she did there? Is it a one? one or a two? What do you think?
Well, it's very difficult considering the only person I can see is myself.
Ah, okay. Wow. You're like the podcast listeners. They miss the visual there.
Fortunately, I can't see it.
Yeah. No, you are truly missing out. All right, that's it for today's edition. We'll see if my hair grows back for tomorrow's show. Thanks to Shaka, thanks to Stevie, thanks to Alan, thanks to all of you for sending us your questions via Twitter.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.